Well, of course, it's New Year's Eve. A kiss at midnight, new clothes, eating grapes, or black-eyed peas. We greet the new year with rituals, including that sometimes raucous party, and with the countdown, as family and friends gather to usher in 12 months that are guaranteed to be successful, happy, and prosperous. So what do you do at midnight? Where do your rituals come from? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And you can always join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Joining us now is Matthew Hudson, news editor at Psychology Today, with us at our bureau in New York. And Happy New Year's, and nice of you to come in today.
Thank you for having me.
And do you have a superstition for tonight?
Nothing specific. I think I'm just going to try to make sure that I'm in a good mood when the clock strikes 12.
In a good mood. Well, that's the best way to start the new year.
Yeah.
I wonder, where do superstitions come from?
I would say that there are three general ways of picking up superstitions. Some you hear from other people or passed along through culture. We tend to believe things that people tell us, whether they're true or false. We just take them at their word. Things like the earth is round or Santa Claus exists,
mm-hmm.
Things you can't really experience for yourself, so you just trust what you hear, or it's lucky to do X or Y. Some things you notice for yourself. As humans, we're in general as animals, we spot things in the environment, and we learn about the environment by spotting patterns. If you see two things correlated, you often assume there's causation. If you wear the same hat every time you win a tennis match, then you think there's something about the hat.
Lucky hat.
Yeah. And then there's some things that are symbolic. You notice on your own. For instance, your birthday might become a lucky number. I was born on the 14th, so I just have a general positive feeling about the number 14. So I might think that if I have 14 of something, then that's lucky. So these are just sort of self-evident symbolic patterns.
And we think of Christmas Day as a sort of the solstice celebration. It's 25th of December is the first time you can notice the days getting longer again, and at least unless you have very sophisticated equipment. January 1st comes just a few days, just a week later.
It's a time for... it's a general time for renewal. There are a lot of things going on. It's a way to get a fresh start on life.
Let's see if we get some callers in on the conversation. We're talking about the traditions and superstitions of New Year's Eve, 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. And we'll start with Nancy. Nancy calling us from Reno in Nevada.
Hi. I just want to share my tradition on New Year's Day. We always eat pork and sauerkraut. And as it has been passed down, you eat pork because a pig roots forward and you want to go move forward into the new year.
Okay.
And never eat because a chicken scratches backwards.
Ah, okay. And the sauerkraut?
You know, I don't know the significance of that. There is something, but I don't remember what it was.
Well, maybe it just goes well with the pork.
There you go.
Okay. Thanks very much, Nancy. That's a New Year's Day tradition. Our old friend Simon Winchester wrote a column saying, you know, why is it that we have this thing of counting down to midnight? We don't set off the July 4th fireworks at midnight on July 4th. We don't celebrate Christmas at midnight on Christmas Day. We went to a sensible time in the morning.
Well, I guess we like ceremonies. We like big events. And as one, you know, as seasons fade into the next, it's hard to, you have to pick some arbitrary moment to celebrate. So midnight seems as good a time as any.
An excuse to stay up late anyway.
Yeah.
Here's an email that we have from Kate in Beverly, Massachusetts. My husband's family is Slavic from Western Pennsylvania. We eat pork and sauerkraut for good luck every New Year's Day. Another pork vote for pork and sauerkraut. It also happens to be our dog's birthday, which we celebrate with our friend's children. While not a superstition, it is certainly very silly. Okay, let's see if we can go next to Karen. Karen with us from Blacksburg in Virginia.
Hi, yes. The tradition at our house, which is my partner's tradition, she got from her father, is to grill dinner to eat at midnight and make it the fancy, wonderful dinner so that sets the mode for the new year. But she always grills it, and he always grilled it, even though he was in southwestern New Jersey and we're down in the mountains of Virginia. You still grill it, and it doesn't matter if it's snowing or fleeting or what it's doing outside.
I mean, you take it out on the Weber and grill it. You start the charcoal.
You take it out to the grill, and you actually grill at least the meats for dinner.
And do you know why he started that tradition?
I have no idea, and I don't think she knows.
But that's the rule.
But that is the rule, that you have to cook it outside on the grill and eat it at midnight, and it has to be this wonderful dinner. So it usually has some lamb or, a fancy, pork or beef, sometimes all three, and, really nice vegetables and stuff to drink, both some champagne-type thing and then usually some sparkling cider for the kids.
Yep. Yeah.
And you eat at midnight.
And you eat at midnight. Well, Karen, what are you making tonight?
I'm not sure what she's making tonight because she's cooking.
All right. Well, I'm sure it'll be great.
I'm sure it is.
Happy New Year.
It'll be a surprise, and it'll be wonderful. Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye. Here's an email we have from Tiffany. In my family, going way back on our Irish side, we bang pans at midnight. As a child, the week before New Year's meant the picking out of just the right pan with just the right tone to scare the bad spirits of the previous year from following you into the new year. Now, most neighbors would come out and look to see what was going on, and only one year was our family bested for probably the craziest people on the block when an older gentleman in a full-dress tartan came out and played his bagpipe to keep the bad spirits away.
Supposedly, that's why church bells are rung at weddings, also to scare away the bad spirits.
So it's definitely – well, all right, let's go to Murphy. Murphy with us from Oklahoma City.
Hi. Thanks for letting me come on the air. I'm also from an Irish family, and I just heard the previous caller. We do the same thing at midnight. We all, me and my five brothers and sisters and my parents go out on the front porch and bang all of the pots and pans from the kitchen together and usually set off some illegal fireworks as well. And then the next day, none of us eat black-eyed peas the rest of the year, but we all have at least one bowl of it just for good luck.
Black-eyed peas for good luck. Matthew Hudson, any idea where that comes from?
Well, the black-eyed peas, I believe it represents money. It's supposed to resemble coins. Lentils, perhaps more so. But the general theme of a lot of New Year superstitions seems to be that you're trying to set the tone for the entire rest of the year. So there are a lot involving money. People make sure they have money in their wallets so that they'll be prosperous throughout the following 12 months or make sure they're not in debt. A friend of mine was telling me last night that growing up, she would always her mother told her to put silver dollars in the corners of the room and make sure that she had a silver dollar in her wallet.
Ah, that's it. Silver dollars in the corners of the room. I could guess anchoring like some sort of a pentagram or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, Murphy, thanks very much for the call. Let's go next to this is Kathy. Kathy calling from Detroit.
Hi. I have an observation that I'm not sure where it came from, but that having a full moon on New Year's Eve is guarantee of a prosperous and better new year, and I wondered if there's any significance to that being also a blue moon this year.
A blue moon, of course, the second full moon in one calendar month, and I guess if there is going to be a full moon on New Year's Eve, it's got to be a blue moon by definition. So, Matthew Hudson?
Well, I don't know the specific origin of the full moon on New Year's Eve, but it seems like it's a more rare event, and all the more reason to select it as a sign of something positive. We could, of course, say that it's a sign of bad luck, but why would you want to do that?
Why would you want to do this? Spoil a perfectly good story. Kathy, are you going to be able to see the blue moon tonight there in Detroit? I think Kathy's left us. Anyway, we wish her a happy New Year's, and let's see if we can get let's go to Sherry. Sherry with us from Walnut Creek in California.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead, please.
Yes, our superstition is you have to have a dark-headed man be the first person to enter your house on New Year's Day.
And why would that be?
I don't know. I think it's Irish, to tell you the truth. I think it's an Irish tradition. I have no idea why, but we always do it.
Matthew Hudson, any ideas on that one?
A lot of these culturally specific superstitions, I'm not positive the origin. What's interesting, though, is that people seem to follow them even if they don't know the reason. So that's either because it's handed down and someone tells them and it's good luck and so they believe it. Or something happens once and then you know, positive results follow. So they think, you know, I don't know why this led to that, but maybe it did. So I'll just keep the pattern going.
Is there a dark-haired man who will wander the neighborhood tonight in Walnut Creek, Sherry?
Well, I'm going to have to enlist a neighbor, I believe.
All right. Well, good luck and have a happy New Year's.
Same to you. Thank you very much.
Here's an email from Angela. Every New Year's Eve when we count at midnight, all our friends and family commence in a huge pillow fight to bring in the new year. Whether outside in the cold weather or inside, the ruler superstition is that everyone has to hit everybody at least once so that they have good luck. We started this tradition over 10 years ago, and it has stuck since. Even our newest babies get a little love tap from tiny pillows. Who knows why we do this, but it's the best way to start a new year, laughing and giggling and good old-fashioned pillow fight. It's something that we all look forward to. Our friends and family bring their own pillows when they come over to party. Good luck to you guys and Happy New Year. Also, my mother always lights green candles on New Year's Eve. Maybe she asks, is that an Asian tradition? I have no idea. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the superstitions for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Our guest is Matthew Hudson of Psychology Today. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can go next to Brian. Brian with us from Rock Hill in South Carolina.
How you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Our tradition, it's going on 8 years now, is fondue on New Year's Eve.
Really?
Yep. About 8 years ago, we thought about going out for fondue, and you know the prices are roughly analogous to your firstborn child, so we decided to go ahead and make it ourselves.
And what kind of cheese do you prefer?
I'm a cheddar guy.
A cheddar guy.
I'm a cheddar guy. But we do the full run. We do a cheese fondue to start out with. Then we do vegetable broth and heat it up and do our shrimp and ribeye and vegetables.
Wow.
And then we switch out the fondue pan or the fondue pot, and we do our chocolate fondue. And we have orange and crushed up Oreos for marshmallows and all manner of decadent things that are not good for you.
Brian, and the address we're going to tonight?
it's in South Carolina, so it's a bit of a haul from Washington, D.C.
Well, maybe we'll find some quick way to get there. Thanks very much. Have a great time.
Thanks. You as well. Happy New Year.
Bye-bye. This is from Serpa. New Year's tradition in my native Finland. We all, almost all, do this. We predict the events of the new year by casting melted tin in the shape of a horseshoe into a bucket or snow or cold water. The future is told by holding the piece by light. The shadow on the wall tells you what's going to happen. Tiny pieces indicate money. This doesn't contradict going to church at 11 p.m., followed by a hymn at midnight outside, followed by fireworks. But since my husband and I lived in Barcelona, I've added a Catalonian custom of 12 uvas, grapes, coated in sugar that we enjoy each at midnight. And a lot of these seem to be religious in origin. We're talking about the spirits. A lot of people like to open all their cabinets, too, to let spirits out.
Right. I've also heard about opening doors and windows to let all the spirits, the bad spirits out and let good spirits in.
Let's go to Bob. Bob with us from Springfield in Oregon. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Great. Just a little funny story. When I first got married, my mother-in-law is Norwegian, and she happened to be serving lutefisk and at Christmas, and we were talking about food, and I happened to mention that you know, we always had sauerkraut at midnight. And I asked her if, you know, do the Norwegians have sauerkraut at midnight? She got very indignant, and she said, of course not. We have brains. And it took me a minute after the lutefisk to realize she was commenting on my heritage, not necessarily what they ate.
There are, I suppose, people who like it, but it's possible the only time you could push lutefisk onto people is because you have to eat it as a tradition at midnight on New Year's Eve.
Right.
Bob, thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Gross food is a small price to pay for a year
of great good luck. Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. Here's an email from Rachel in Tucson. Me, my two sisters, and I leave change and bread in the window. This is so we will have food and money throughout the year. We got this from our father. I tried to investigate this year exactly where this came from, but could not find an answer. But it seemed to go along with that whole prosperity and good luck for the year. And this from... Irene in South Wellfleet in Massachusetts concerning the tradition of eating pork in a New Year's meal, including as an ingredient in black-eyed peas. Apparently, pigs can't look behind them, which would be auspicious at the turn of the year when we are all looking forward. As the other caller we had said, they root forward. And anyway, let's see if we can go next to Pam. Pam with us in Birmingham in Alabama.
Yes. Somewhere I read or heard a few years ago that it is considered bad luck to do laundry on New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if you're familiar with that, or if it does that also generalize to any form of house cleaning?
We got this email from Rebecca exactly on that point. My mother's been adamant about not doing the laundry on New Year's Day. According to my great-grandmother, she washed clothes on New Year's Day, and that year she lost her mother. Needless to say, my mom warns me each New Year's Eve not to wash the clothes.
Well, some of these symbols are somewhat metaphorical. For instance, washing, doing laundry, doing dishes. The parallel is with washing family members away. It's death. People are scared that, you know, if you clean things, then someone will die, just because of that linguistic metaphor. So it's a kind of a stretch, but people think via connections, via, you know, analogical reasoning. So they kind of latch onto things like that.
Pam, thanks very much.
The one that I heard said that it's bad luck to do laundry because it'll just be a never-ending thing. You'll be forced to do it every year.
That's another one.
All right, Pam. I hope all your clothes are dirty on New Year's Day.
I hope not.
Here's an email we got from Lindsay. We drink bad champagne because after that, things always get better. That's an idea that I think other people have adopted as well. Matthew Hudson, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
And Happy New Year to you.
You too.
Matthew Hudson, a news editor at Psychology Today, with us from our bureau in New York. Tomorrow, it's Talk of the Nation Science Friday. We'll see you again on Monday. Take care of yourself tonight and have a Happy New Year. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.